Good morning and welcome to worship at West End United Methodist Church. This day is a gift, and we are offering thanks to the great shepherd of the sheep for that gift. Once again, good morning and welcome to worship at West End. We're delighted that you've joined us, and especially if you're here for the first time or you've just recently begun attending, we want to express our wish that you'll become a member of our family of faith here. We'll greet you during our time of sharing the peace of Christ, but also if there's anything else we can do, we're happy to do that. Of course, one thing you can do to become a part of this congregation ever more deeply is to take part in what God is doing here. You can find lots of opportunities for that in your bulletin inserts. I'm going to lift up a few of those. This afternoon at 5 p.m. here in the sanctuary, we have our choral evensong, and I'm very much looking forward to that. I know many of you are as well. I hope you'll find time on this beautiful day to come and have a time of evening prayer, enjoy beautiful music, and worship God. Also, our Bedrock Belief t-shirts are here and will be available for pickup next Sunday, May 14th in Reed Hall. So if you ordered one of those t-shirts, you can pick it up next week. And today's communion offering will be for Congo Women Arise. I'm mentioning it now. I'll mention it later during the service. You'll find a bulletin, a special bulletin insert for this effort, and even more description in the larger insert. This is our annual conference's partnership with the East Congo Conference to build a center to help provide a safe place for women. The situation in East Congo is horrific for everyone. It is especially horrific for women. If you read the description in our bulletin insert, you'll understand why. Our conference is partnering with that conference to build a center. It's going to be called the Mama Lynn Center for Lynn McAlealy. Lynn happens to be married to our bishop. She also happens to be a member at West End and a very fine and wonderful human being. So I'm excited that she's being honored in that way. But we are going to be receiving a communion offering, but we're also going to be continuing that offering because our hope is that we can contribute at least $5,000 to that effort at our annual conference session in early June. So I hope you'll read about that. I hope you'll give generously to this effort. Do you ever want to just have somebody take care of you? To not be responsible for all those things you're responsible for all the time, but to have somebody provide what you need for your sustenance and hold you and protect you? Well, there's a name for that kind of person. It's called a shepherd. We're going to be talking more about shepherds. Stick around.
Good Christians all rejoice and sing. Now is the triumph of our King. To all the world that news we bring.
Thank you.
gather together in the presence of our Shepherd God. Who restores our souls, and whose goodness and love never stop pursuing us. Christ our Lord invites to his table all who love him, who earnestly repent of their sin and seek to live in peace with God and one another. Therefore, let us confess our sin before God and one another. Merciful God, we confess that we have not loved you with our whole heart. We have failed to be an obedient church. We have not done your will. We have broken your law. We have rebelled against your love. We have not loved our neighbors. We have not heard the cry of the needy. Forgive us, we pray. Free us for joyful obedience through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Hear the good news. Christ died for us while we were yet sinners, and that proves God's love toward us. In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven. In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven. Glory to God. Amen. As a forgiven and reconciled people, let us exchange signs of reconciliation and love. The peace of Christ be with you. Let us join together in the prayer for illumination. Lord, open our hearts and minds by the power of your Holy Spirit, that as the scriptures are read and your word proclaimed, we may hear with joy what you say to us today. Amen. A reading from the Gospel of John. Very truly, I tell you, anyone who does not enter the sheepfold by the gate, but climbs in by another way, is a thief and a bandit. The one who enters by the gate is the shepherd of the sheep. The gatekeeper opens the gate for him, and the sheep hear his voice. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought out all his own, he goes ahead of them, and the sheep follow him because they know his voice. They will not follow a stranger, but they will run from him because they do not know the voice of strangers. Jesus used this figure of speech with them, but they did not understand what he was saying to them. So again, Jesus said to them, "Very truly I tell you, I am the gate for the sheep. All who came before me are thieves and bandits, but the sheep did not listen to them. I am the gate. Whoever enters by me will be saved and will come in and go out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. The hired hand, who is not the shepherd and does not know the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and runs away. And the wolf snatches them and scatters them. The hired hand runs away because a hired hand does not care for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my own, and my own know me. Just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father. And I lay down my life for the sheep. I have other sheep that do not belong to this fold. I must bring them also, and they will listen to my voice. So there will be one flock and one shepherd." This is the word of God for us, the people of God. Thanks be to God.
A story that is not from the Bible. The ancient rabbis say that when Moses was out in the middle of nowhere in Midian, keeping the sheep for his father-in-law Jethro, he noticed that there was a lamb that slipped away from the herd. Now, Moses had a choice. He could either stay with the herd and let the lamb be lost, or he could follow the lamb and try to catch it and bring it back to the herd. Well, he decided to go after the lamb. He thought, after all, how fast can a lamb run? So, chasing after the lamb, what he found was that the faster Moses ran, the faster the lamb ran. And Moses was running after the lamb, saying, "Come back here, come back here." And then the lamb came upon a pool of water where it stopped and got a drink. And Moses stopped and he thought for a minute. He thought, how silly I was. All the lamb wanted was a drink of water. If I had been smart, I would have brought the whole flock of sheep down. I would have watered them. Everything would have been fine. So when the lamb had drunk its full, Moses put the lamb on his shoulders, came back, took the entire flock of sheep down, and gave them the water that they needed. Now, the ancient rabbis say that God was watching all this, and it was at that moment that God said, "That's the person I want to lead my people out of slavery. That is just the kind of person who will be a shepherd to my people as they find their way to a new land." A story from the Bible. David was just a boy, and he was a shepherd. Not unusual in the Middle East to this day that boys and girls act as shepherds for their family. When Samuel came to find a new king for Israel, sent in secret by God to Bethlehem, to the house of Jesse, David isn't even present. Samuel goes through all of Jesse's sons, one after another, and God says to each one, this is not the one, this is not the one, this is not the one, until finally they're all gone, and Samuel has to ask, don't you have any more? And almost as an afterthought, Jesse said, well, yeah, there's the kid, there's the youngest, David, he's just keeping the sheep. And it's David that God says, this is the one. David goes out to take food to his brothers who are fighting in a battle for Saul. The battle is against the Philistines, and very little fighting is actually going on because the Philistines have a champion, a giant named Goliath, and he comes out and he taunts and humiliates the Israelites, and not a single soldier, not even the king, will go up against him. When the boy David brings the food to his brothers, he notices this. So he raises his hand. He says, I'll go up against that giant. They laughed at him. They said, what are you? You're a kid. He said, hey, I'm not just a kid. I'm a shepherd. And when I keep those sheep out in the middle of nowhere, in the middle of the night, and lions and bears and wolves come up, who do you think fights them off? If I can face lions and bears and wolves and God gives me the victory, who's afraid of an old Philistine giant? Shepherds are brave. Now, these two stories really illustrate a couple of different aspects of shepherds. When Jesus was telling this story, everybody around him would already have a preconceived notion about shepherds. First of all, they would see them working all the time. Wherever you traveled from town to town in Israel, you would have seen shepherds with their flocks of sheep and goats on the hillsides. Some of those shepherds would be family members, sometimes boys and girls, sometimes really children. Others would be hired shepherds, and those hired shepherds would be keeping sheep for people other than them. And so people would be used to this image of shepherd, but the image of shepherd was also an important and historic image within the history of Israel. Moses had been a shepherd. Moses had been a shepherd for his father-in-law Jethro's flocks in Midian, but more importantly, Moses had been a shepherd for the people as they wandered in the wilderness on their way to the Promised Land. One of the aspects of the shepherd is that the shepherd is the one who helps the sheep find nourishment and water, find what they need so that they can actually continue to live. The sheep depend on the shepherd to find these places, to lead them there, and then to bring them safely back. So one of the things that a shepherd does is to provide for those, every single sheep, to make sure every sheep has enough. The second thing the shepherd does is illustrated by David's story, because a shepherd protects the sheep. If there is danger, the shepherd steps in and puts himself or herself between the sheep and the danger. It's risky business. It's difficult business. And if they're your sheep or your family's sheep, you're not going to run away. But as Jesus observes, if they're not your sheep and you're just being paid by the day to watch them, you're liable to run away and leave them to the wild beasts. When Jesus talks about shepherd, all of that is spinning in the imaginations of the people who are listening. They know that all the kings of Israel are also called to be shepherds. When the people of Israel wanted a king, Samuel warned them, because God had warned Samuel that if they want to be like the nations and they want a king like all the other nations, that what that king would do is that king would take their sons and send them off to war, would take their daughters and make them servants and slaves and concubines. Plus, the kings in the other nations were gods. In Israel, there was only one God, and it was not the king. The king, instead, in Israel, was to be a shepherd. The king was to make sure that all the people had enough, that no one was left out. Kings were judged by how they treated the least of these, the widows and the orphans. They weren't judged by how large an army they had, or how large a treasury they had, or how important they thought they were. They were judged by how they treated the least of these, making sure everyone had enough, that no one was pushed to the margins, no one was left out. Jesus said, "I have come so you can have life and have it abundantly." No wonder he describes himself as a good shepherd. The second thing the king does is to create a safe place for the people, a place where people can come, be cared for, be in safety. Like the shepherd protecting the sheep, the king is supposed to provide not just for the material needs of the people, but also that they can find a home in which they are welcomed and safe. Of course, Jesus would call himself the Good Shepherd. This is the culmination of a whole series of sayings that Jesus had that are called the I Am sayings. And this is probably the best known, in part because we link it with Psalm 23, with images of shepherds in stories from Scripture and from outside of Scripture. But when Jesus says, "I am the Good Shepherd, I lay down my life for my sheep," we know he means that literally. We know the rest of the story. That's exactly what he did. He cared for his sheep to make sure they had everything they needed. And then when the time came that the dangerous forces converged upon them, he was the one who stepped up and offered himself to stand between his people and the wild beasts. When Jesus talks about being a good shepherd, he's talking about our calling to some extent to care for each other, to shepherd each other. I've always been a bit daunted by the title pastor, because pastor comes from the word shepherd. In Spanish, the first line of Psalm 23 is, "El Señor es mi pastor." I am not the good shepherd. Neither are any of the rest of us who are ordained. There is only one truly good shepherd. But you might say we are called among the sheep to understudy the good shepherd, to try to emulate the good shepherd, to aspire to be as much like that shepherd as we possibly can. And you all are fortunate in that you've got a whole team of shepherds. We're going to be seeing some transitions in that team coming up fairly shortly. Brandon Baxter is going to be coming, and Chris and Erica are going to be heading out for a new adventure. Carol Cavan-Dillon is going to be coming, and Margaret and I are heading out for a new adventure. You know, sometimes people, in a very sweet and supportive way, will say to me, "You know, Carol's going to have big shoes to fill." And I don't think they're talking about my size 12 feet. As kind as that is, you're wrong. She's not going to have any shoes to fill, because I intend to take my shoes with me. And she's going to have to bring her own. She shouldn't have to fill my shoes. She shouldn't want to fill my shoes. Each of us who understudy the Good Shepherd bring our own set of gifts. And as limited as each of us might be, it's those gifts that God uses. It's those gifts that God shares. And with the team of people we have here, you have a variety of gifts to care for you, to create a safe place in this place, so that people who outside don't feel at home can feel at home here. For people who are pushed to the margins will find a safe place in this place. And so that we can provide everything you need to grow as a disciple of Jesus. We are not the host of this meal. We'll be inviting you to a feast to celebrate the Good Shepherd, but we are not the host. I am not the host. Jesus is the host of this meal, and we understudies do our best to make sure you know you are welcome and to make sure that you are fed and to make sure that you feel safe in this place and loved in this place. That's our job as pastors, as understudy shepherds. That's our privilege. That's our burden. That's our responsibility. And so when we talk about a shepherd, there is one shepherd, one truly good shepherd, and that is Jesus. But we are called, all of us, not just those who have the title pastor, to shepherd each other, to provide for each other what the other needs, to offer that safety and care for each person who comes. That is our privilege. That is our burden. That is our responsibility. Thanks be to God.
We welcome all who gather to worship with us today. If you are a guest among us, we extend a special word of welcome to you. We are glad that you are here. And we hope you will join us for coffee and fellowship in Reed Hall through the doors to your right following our worship service. Our Andrew ministers would love to greet you and answer any questions that you might have. They will be both in Reed Hall and in the narthex at the rear of the sanctuary after the service. You can look for their blue name tags. In the pew racks in front of you, you'll find a gray card. We invite you to record your prayer requests there, indicating if they are to be shared or confidential. You can place the card in the offering plates as they are passed down the pew in a few moments. Also, please take a moment to record your attendance with us by passing the attendance pad that you find near the center aisle down the pew if you have not already done so. As the pad is passed back down the pew to the center aisle, we invite you to take note of who is worshiping with you and greet anyone that you may not know at the end of the service. This morning, we celebrate the birth of Leo Domenico Boni, who was born on April 14, 2017, to parents Sarah Kristen and Marco Carlo Boni, and his big brother Luca Antonio. As God is mindful of us and of our needs, let us now be mindful to be good stewards through our generosity and responsibility for God's gifts.
Thank you.
The Lord be with you.
Also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them up to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is right and a good and joyful thing, always and everywhere, to give thanks to you, God of love and light, great shepherd of the sheep, creator of heaven and earth. You formed us in your image and breathed into us the breath of life. When we turned away and our love failed, your love remained steadfast. You delivered us from captivity, made covenant to be our sovereign God, and spoke to us through the prophets. And so, with your people on earth and all the company of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn. Holy are you, and blessed is your Son, Jesus Christ. Your Spirit anointed him to preach good news to the poor, to proclaim release to the captives and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, and to announce that the time had come when you would save your people. He healed the sick, fed the hungry, and ate with sinners. By the baptism of his suffering, death, and resurrection, you gave birth to your church, delivered us from slavery to sin and death, and made with us a new covenant by water and the Spirit. When the Lord Jesus ascended, he promised to be with us always in the power of your word and Holy Spirit. On the night in which he gave himself up for us, our Lord took bread, gave thanks to you, broke the bread, gave it to his disciples, and said, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." And when the supper was over, he took the cup. When he had given thanks, he gave it to his disciples, saying, "Drink from this, all of you. This is the cup of a new covenant in my blood, shed for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. As often as you drink it in remembrance of me." And so, in remembrance of these your mighty acts in Jesus Christ, we offer ourselves in praise and thanksgiving as a holy and living sacrifice in union with Christ's offering for us as we proclaim the mystery of faith. Pour out your Holy Spirit on us gathered here and on these gifts of bread and wine. Make them be for us the body and blood of Christ, that we may be for the world the body of Christ, redeemed by his blood. By your Spirit, make us one with Christ, one with each other, and one in ministry to all the world, until Christ comes in final victory and we feast at his heavenly banquet. Now I invite you to join with me in that prayer that Jesus taught to those he called brothers and sisters and friends, saying, "Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen." The body of Christ, the bread of heaven. the blood of Christ, the cup of salvation. As I said before, we are not the host of this meal. The Good Shepherd is the host. But he allows us the privilege of inviting all of you to come and commune. This is not my table. It is not a United Methodist table. You don't have to be United Methodist to come. You don't even have to be a baptized Christian. If you're seeking a new or renewed relationship of love with God and your neighbor, you are welcome to come and take this holy sacrament to your comfort. The choir will come first, but when it's time for you to come, we ask for you to come by way of the center aisle. Kneel at the chancel rail. When you extend your hand, you'll be served the bread first and then the juice. You're welcome to remain for a time of prayer if you choose. And then when you return, please return by the side aisles. If you need a gluten-free option, we have that available. We would ask that if you need that option, please come to the lectern side of the sanctuary. Tell your server that you need a gluten-free option, and Bobby will serve you that. If you need to be served in your pew, catch our eye or the eye of one of the ushers, and we'll be glad to serve you there as well. As I mentioned in the announcements, we take an offering at each of these services, and this month the offering goes to Congo Women Arise. It's a partnership between the East Congo Conference and our conference. It's to raise money to build a center of safety for women who have been displaced and harmed terribly there in the Congo. I mentioned it's going to be named Mama Lynn Center for Lynn McAlilly, a member of West End, married to our bishop. Fine, fine person. If you would care to contribute to this effort, there are two offering plates right next to the front pew. You're welcome to leave your offering there. My friends, these are the gifts of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. I invite you to stand and join with me in the prayer after receiving. You have given yourself to us, Lord. Your love has made us a new people. Your glory has filled our hearts. And now go forth in peace. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you now and always. Amen.